Every step I take, I know I'm drawing nearer, for the thoughts of worldly wealth mean less each day, and the things I used to think were so important, now they seem to just be in the way. I'm so glad He offered all of us salvation, for we had no hope if He had not come down. He sees each and every heartache, every burden that we carry, and He whispers, trade them for a crown. Though the road is long and hard, and I may stumble, and the world claims victory when I am down, but through it all I'm still clinging the promise, for cross there is a crown. The decision's yours, be careful how you make it. But there's a choice to make and you must take a stand. There are a million souls who died without salvation, and they would trade this world away for one more chance. The greatest miracle ever taken for granted is that the Son of God has died for you and me. And though the world tries to ignore Him, I'm a shout Him. Though the devil rages, Jesus, I believe. Though the road is long and hard, and I may stumble, and the world claims victory when I am down, but through it all, I'm still clinging to the
that this morning. Did you say amen? That's right. Every cross, there's a crown. There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers down here on earth. That's just not the way it works. You didn't get that? There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here on earth. We got to bear a cross here, wear the crown there. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're turning there, I want to remind you that we are having choir practice this evening for next Sunday. We need all of our choir and you that are supposed to be in the choir today at 5 o'clock. We're going to leave the air conditions on all evening, and it'll be nice and cool in here. So the cheapest place to be this evening will be Shining Light Baptist Church. Won't cost you a dime. Come on in here and rest and enjoy the choir. And we got a real special stuff planned for tonight, so don't miss it. And right after the service this morning, get signed up for youth camp. It's right here. We need to know who's going. We need to get our plans made. We are taking a bus, and we're leaving early on Monday morning, July the 9th. There are no age limits. You're not too old to go to camp. Don't ever think that. Not too old to go to camp. I'm going to go. When they're going to get me a rest home if I'm in one and take me to camp. And I'll bust out of there. We'll start our own bus ministry in the rest home. And our own camp or something. But anyway, you're not too old. Go with us. You will enjoy youth camp. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. I just want to give you a little thought. This is not a, I won't be able to get into this subject as much as I'd like to. But I want to preach this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. I was talking to a man this week, yesterday actually, at the revival, I think it was, and he was talking about all the burdens and problems that he's having. Does anybody in here have burdens and problems? Yes, we do. Well, I've got good news for you. There's a better day ahead for the child of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Somebody, they put that, that's a good verse to put in the nursery. Yeah. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's really what that, not that means, but it's a good verse for the nursery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now that's what's going to happen when the Lord comes. Your body will be changed. You are not going to drop this body and get a new one. Your new body's made out of your old body. He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like His glorious body. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what's all this stuff about why the dead in Christ have to rise first and all that stuff? That's their bodies. Their souls are already with the Lord. Like my mom, who went to heaven last year, her soul is with the Lord. Her body is over yonder in that cemetery in Nebo. When the Lord comes, that body will come back together. Her soul will come down from heaven. They'll meet. She'll get her new body same time I get mine. That's why a man said the reason the dead in Christ rise first is because we got a 6-foot head start on them. And we're all going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall be changed. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. See, that's this body going to put on one that won't die. And this mortal, your body that'll die, must put on immortality, one that won't die. So then when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Gone. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Stop right there. The Bible tells us the sting of death is sin. Has anybody been bee stung this year yet? I have. I got popped the other day. There's some wasps right outside my house. And every time I go out there, I make them mad. I've sprayed them. They've turned into superhuman creatures or something. I've sprayed them and they get meaner and stronger. I believe they become immune to that stuff. I bought some stuff at the dollar store and sprayed it in that hole and they all come flying at me. I said, Lord, have mercy. They're super strong wasps. They're zombie wasps, I believe is what they are. All their zombie talk, they're zombie. And they come after me and went, bah, got me. Man, it hurts. And when you first get stung, you can feel a little pop, and then it really starts hurting. Like about 30 seconds later, and worse and worse and worse. Now, the Bible said the sting of death is sin. And they say when you take a bee stinger out, bees can't hurt you. Wouldn't that be fun?
Just have a bunch of hornets and stuff. Just play with them, flip them, not going to put your hand on them, mash them, stuff like that. And they can't hurt you. The stinger's pulled out. They can't hurt you. Now, you know what the sting of death is? It's sin. So when you get saved, the sin's took out, the stinger, so death can't hurt you. Death is a welcome guest to a person who's ready to meet God. The sting of death is sin. Verse 56, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, knowing all this stuff, what are we going to do? My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. I shall not be moved. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now I want to preach for a minute tonight, this morning. Give you a thought or two on the subject. It's time for the trumpet. It is time for the trumpet. Now the Bible talks about the last trump. And a trump is a sound a trumpet makes. That's what a trump is. The trump is the sound the trumpet makes. And that the trumpet announces the return of a king. We are not wild-eyed, publicity-seeking fanatics that's been raised crazy. We know exactly what we believe and why we believe it. We are sane, logical, Bible-believing Christians who know God meant what He said and said what He meant. And that the return of Jesus Christ is very, very soon. Listen, we are not in the last days. We're in the last hours and moments and days before the Lord comes back. I heard an older preacher come and sing me yesterday. Where I was staying up there, he sat down on a chair and I sat over here. He said, he'd been saved 50 years. And he sat there and talked to me. And I like to listen to them old men talk. They can tell you something. You know, you don't get all of your advice from somebody under 35. Listen to these older folks. They may not know how to run an iPod, but they can tell you something that you might need to know. They wasn't born yesterday. They may not know how to do a computer, but they can tell you some stuff about life that you better learn. That old preacher sat over there yesterday, and he told me, he said, Danny, he said, I've been saved 50 years. He said the world has changed more in the last 25 years than it did the whole 6,000 previous years before. There's been 60 centuries of people on this earth. 59 of them basically were the same. Like Adam and Eve, right on up to this present day. We are in the 60th century right now, 6,000 years. And the first one, second one, third one, 35th one, 45th one, 50th one. 55th one, people rode around on horses and camels and wagons and buggies and built fires to stay warm and killed what they ate. Only in the last 50 or 75 years have we seen the world like it is now. That's not an accident. It's not an accident that everything's turning out just like the Bible said that it would. That's not an accident, folks. And if I didn't have no other reason for believing the Bible, it would be that one of the reasons I believe the Bible is everything is taking place just like God said that it would in the Bible. There's so much going on. We see the tidal wave of skeptics. Never before has the Bible and church and that been under attack like it is. You know what he told me? He said years ago up there in that county, I don't know exactly what county that was in, Cashville, maybe something like that. The county I was in this week, I was only 1 mile from Danville, Virginia, and it was right on the edge of North Carolina. And he told me, he said years ago, when it would come up a liquor vote or something in the community, he said the church would stand against it. And he said people was scared to go against what the church said. The people in the community. They said, we're not going to fight the church. We don't mess with the church. He said the opposite is true now. Mock the church. Make fun of the church. The church has made a mockery on TV and in movies constantly in our day and time. I got a article here that you might not have seen. You may have seen, you may not have. And this is a thing that happened at the University of Texas at San Antonio just the other day. They kept it sort of quiet because of how bad it really is. You know what they did on the University of Texas San Antonio campus the other day? They had students set up in the middle of the campus and they put up a red flashing light and had signs up advertising free pornography for anybody that would come. The way you got it is you had to turn your Bible in to get it. What they were saying was, they were saying the Bible is full of stories on rape and murder and incest, and that's the worst reading material a person can expose themselves to. And they said, what we'll do, for every student that turns their Bible in, we'll give you free literature to replace it. They called it smut for smut. And they were, it's big news right here in the paper. And other agenda, the class members of the atheist agenda hope to entice their classmates to turn their Bibles in exchange for pornographic magazines, a provocative offer designed to shock and attract attention. Ladies and gentlemen, you realize that 30 or 40 years ago, that would not have been allowed on a college campus in this country, where the Bible is definitely under attack. We never seen anything like that years ago. They said in the UK school system, United Kingdom, you know, Britain starts, it starts in Sweden, there's something rotten in Denmark, and then it works way this way and comes to California and then finally gets us. That's the way the devil works. Starts over in Sweden, Denmark, goes to Los Angeles, and then works its way back to the East Coast. And you know what they're doing now in the United Kingdom? They have included the study of witchcraft and druid with it, the Druids, in its official religious education syllabus at Cornwall University. They're saying that students will now learn about the ancient Druid beliefs of the British Isles, aspects of witchcraft, and the worship of gods, little g, from other various regions. The syllabus put forth by Cornwall University's advisory group makes it clear that students ages 5 and above will learn about Christianity, of course, and that the other religious material will be devoted to non-Christian and pagan beliefs to help the kids 5 and 6 years old understand the basic beliefs of pagans and understand the parents who follow other religions. They also have an article here that most Americans now believe that the Bible and the Koran and other Book of Mormons basically holds the same truths. In other words, the Bible is one road to heaven, the Koran is another road to heaven, and the Book of Mormon is a third road to heaven. Basically what they're saying is, it really don't matter which religion you believe, because they're all going to wind you up in the same place. I'm going to tell you this morning, we are living in the time when the Word of God is under attack. Now listen, if the Bible said Jesus is the only way to heaven, and the Koran says something different, they both cannot be right. You are not saved by sincerity. You're not saved by believing something is true sincerely. You are saved by believing and knowing the truth. And the truth is this morning that our Bible here is under attack. I don't know about you, but I thank God. And I thank the Lord in heaven this morning that I had a mama who knew that the real truth of God. I'm glad my mom knew which God was real. I'm glad. You say, oh, that's just because you was raised here, and if you'd have been raised somewhere else, I might have been taught somewhere something else. But I'm glad I found the truth. I'm glad mom knew the truth. I'm glad I got to be around old-fashioned preachers who had their prayers answered, and women who knew God. And you ought to thank God this morning that you know the truth this morning. Most of the world don't. Most of the world don't. I'm telling you, we are living in a tidal wave of skepticism, an absolute tidal wave to destroy the Bible as the Word of God, to destroy the ones who believe it, and by denouncing the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ as enough. You know what they've done? And the NEA, you know what the NEA is? That's the National Endowment of the Arts. And they took a replica of the cross of Christ, or a crucifix, and submerged it in human urine and said, this is art. This is artistic. And they get government money from our tax money to pay for stuff like that, to blaspheme the Lord. And you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's sitting in heaven this morning saying, I love you and I'll save you. I love you and I'll save you. But that day's finally going to come when the Lord said, okay, it's enough. The cup of iniquity will be full, and the Lord Himself will tell him. Listen, people. Y'all listen to me. We are not sitting out here this morning just because Sunday morning is a thing to do to go to church. We are a called out group getting ready to go to heaven when the Lord calls us out of here one of these days. He's going to call us out. It could happen today. I sent one of our members a text this morning and said, you never know, the rapture might come on your way to church this morning. What if the Lord came right now? I mean, right now. You say, oh, you're crazy. I ain't either. They thought Noah was crazy when he was building that boat. What if he came right now? Right now. Right now. There is not one verse of Scripture in the Bible that would have to be fulfilled to prevent him from coming this morning. All the signs in the Bible is for the tribulation. We see the translation of the saints. I mean, you imagine. The Bible said, this man wrote a book. And this man wrote this book, and he said, there is no such thing as the rapture. And he went into a big long story about Noah and how Noah didn't go up in the sky, and Noah went through the flood, a picture of the great tribulation, and Noah went through this. And he had a pretty good little story there. But I kept, the whole time I was looking at it, I said, man, you missed it. You missed it. He missed the whole point. You know what he missed? He forgot. Noah is not a picture of a Christian going up in the rapture. Noah is a picture of a Jewish remnant that'll be preserved through the tribulation. There's a man lived before Noah by the name of Enoch. And before the flood came, the Bible said he was not. He was not. You've heard of an astronaut? Well, he's a was not. That's what he was. The Bible said he was not. I mean, Enoch was walking around one day, and he walked with God, and God said, Enoch, you want to come up and spend a day with me? He said, I'd love to, where you live. He said, I live in heaven. And he said, let's go. And he went, bam! He disappeared, and they come out there and look for him, because the Bible said he wasn't found. Yeah. Can you imagine going out there and saying, well, Lord, there's his shepherd's staff, and there's his donkey, and there's his car keys, and there's his cell phone, and there's his... Where's Enoch? And they said, he's not. Not what? He's just not nothing. He's just not. What do you mean he's not? Not what? That ain't good English. He's not. That's not good English. Don't you accuse God of not using good English. He said he's not. Well, he's not got to be something. He's not what? He's not. He ain't not nowhere to be found. That's right. He disappeared, brother. He's gone to heaven. It'd be like me walking here like this, and I'd be sitting like this, and all of a sudden it's just like, bam, I'm gone. Gone. Just like that. The Bible said two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be sitting in church. One will be taken, the other left. If the Lord came right now, every person who's not saved in this building would be left here. And all you'd look around and all you'd see is a pile of clothes. And wedding rings and false teeth and wigs and no telling what else. For about that one guy, his wife died. They said he got to look around the house, about found him enough stuff to make him another. She had so much fake stuff. But anyway, they ain't no telling what might be left. But I'll tell you one thing, I'd be gone. Hey, man, I'd be going to be somewhere listening for my name. Listen, that ought to cheer you up this morning. You say, well, Brother Danny, life's hard. Cheer up, Jesus is coming back. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'm having a hard time. Yeah, but just think. All your troubles could be gone in 30 seconds when you hear that trumpet sound and the Lord come and the dead in Christ rise first, and we'll see Him that loved us and gave Himself for us on the cross. Buddy, you talk about a shouting hallelujah time. That's something to look forward to. That's why the Bible calls it the blessed hope. You know what the Bible talks about? It talks about the tribulation period taking place after that. Have y'all seen all the stuff that's going on now? Now I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb right now. But I'll tell you when I'm out on a limb, okay? If I don't have scripture to back up what I'm saying. There's some things taking place in our world right now that really the Bible talks about being a tribulation. So that means we're getting close. There are no scripture in the Bible for the rapture. Sign. In other words, there is no sign that says the rapture is soon. The signs are for the tribulation. It'd be like if you was going to Charlotte. If you was going to Charlotte, you might see a sign down here when you get on 16 down yonder, or down 321, or get on 85, that says Charlotte, 45 miles. But then you know that McCaddenville is before you get to Charlotte. But there ain't no sign about McCaddenville. All the sign is for Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? And all these little towns in between there, you know you're getting close to them. You say, well, there ain't no sign about McCaddenville, but I know we're close because there's a Charlotte sign that says 30 miles. And McCaddenville is before Charlotte. Now, that's the way the rapture is. The signs are for the tribulation. The sign, as it was the days of Noah, as it was the days of Lot, all that's for the tribulation. But you see, as we see the signs for the tribulation, the rapture is before the tribulation, so we know we're close. Very close. Very close. The rapture is imminent. That means it could happen at any time. They were looking for it in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was. And so, we don't know. So, did you know all the stuff that's happening now in the days of Noah that's happening now? Y'all heard about these zombie people going around eating people's face off? And there was like 6 or 7 people did that just in the last few weeks. Now, that sounds crazy, but man, what's going on with these people? I mean, the girls were telling me last night at the revival, our girls sitting right over there, they were saying that they know, this morning, they were saying they know kids at school who claim to be zombies. They believe they're a zombie. I said, well, you know, and they say, well, they're on bath salt. Well, why don't the bath salt make them want to bake a cake for their grandma? Why does it make you do stuff that demons do in the Bible?
Yep.
Because the demon comes in through the bath salt. Yeah. Who in the world would have ever thought we'd even be talking about stuff like this?
Right. That's right.
I'm telling you this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, it's getting worse and worse and worse. It's the crime, the murder, the robbery, the rape. And you know what? Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There were creatures walking around on the days of Noah that were not normal human beings. There were giants in the earth in those days. We are seeing an upsurge of that. We are seeing an upsurge of superhuman type people in this world like we've never seen before. Yeah, I show you the video at the youth rally. If you didn't get it, you need to get it. It's not too late. I showed you the video of how people are getting more and more and more like supermen, like super one eye, like the Antichrist in Zechariah chapter number 11 with the bad right eye. We are over and over seeing the signs being fulfilled. I mean, everybody, every movie that Hollywood puts out is either about a vampire or a zombie or this stuff like that. It's not an accident that the girl in Twilight gets pregnant by a vampire, a part human, part demon creature. That's part human, part demon creature. Do you realize that's what happened in Genesis 6? And the Lord said, as it was then, that's how it'll be right before I come back. The tribulation of the sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, the temptation of sin will be terrible. Rape and murder on a scale never heard of. Robbery like nothing we've ever seen. Nothing is safe. The thousands are scared. The torments from the serpent. It'll be a time when death would be a welcome friend. Do you know there'll be a time during the Great Tribulation when people try to die and can't die? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Can't even kill yourself. For a certain period of time, that's how that... You know, the sun's going to turn dark and the moon will turn to blood and there'll be sores and the mark of the beast will be required upon every person's hand or forehead. That stuff's not symbolic. That's true. The only thing that is symbolic in the Bible is it'll tell you when it speaks in symbols. And if it don't tell you it's speaking in symbols, you can mark it down. It's literal. It's literal. Well, people believe it. Heaven's a real place and hell's symbolic. You can't have it both ways. If heaven's a real place, hell's a real place. The spirit of this age discourages anybody from doing right. The spirit of this age is saying, don't live right. Don't serve God. I can't even take the time to scratch the surface of the things that are taking place right now. I've got on my video presentation about the computer chips, the microchips that they're already experimenting with in Florida and places where they're putting a computer chip underneath the skin of people like that have Alzheimer's disease and stuff like that, so that they can't just wander off, you know, down the street somewhere. They can find them. Well, that sounds like a good idea. I mean, that sounds like, really, that sounds like a smart thing. I've heard people say, well, that makes perfect sense. Put them in your pet, and they're wanting to do your kids. They're wanting you to do your kids, computer chip them, so that they won't get abducted and stuff like that. Well, can't you see where that's going? We're headed that way. And you know, the Bible don't say that mark of the beast will be on your hand. It says in your hand. Isn't that weird? For years and years and years, people thought, well, they're just going to print a mark like a tattoo on your forehead. Yeah, it don't say on it. It says in it. In it. If I was you here this morning, I wouldn't take my chances against what that Bible says for this church full of money. Everything's going to fall out from under you one of these days, my friend. And Jesus Christ is the only thing you've got to stand on. He's the solid rock. If I was you here this morning, I'd get ready for the sound of that trumpet. And you know what y'all's problem is? A lot of you, he said, I've heard that all my life. That's your problem right there. They'll be saying that 10 seconds before he comes. They'll be saying that right before Jesus comes. Let's stand with our heads bowed in prayer. Every head bowed.